Good morning. Oh, man, y'all know how to start a meeting. I ain't kidding you. I have never been so nervous and so scared in all my life as I was to be, number one, to be coming to a woman's conference because this is my first ever. And number two, just to hear that story, you know, it makes me feel weird. But let me tell you, I'll tell you something scarier than all of that. It's last night with the sobriety countdown. To be one of the older members in the room is spooky for me because I know how sick my thinking is most days. You know? I go, oh, shit, we're in trouble now. I'm supposed to be talking on the magic and the power of the steps, and I think that's already been shown. I'm here. Through Ohio, for God's sakes. Golly. My name is Sandy Hickox, and I am an alcoholic. And I'm really grateful to be here today and be sober. I'm real grateful for some of the girls that I sponsor and some of the women that attend the meetings in the area where I'm from. They're here also. So, and we were late coming in, so we all missed the cabin meeting. So we're kind of a little, you know, just a little disconnected. And they're all sitting right here on the front row. So if y'all want to, you know. You know, because we were talking about it, you know, we hate missing that meeting because we didn't get to talk to everybody and find out, you know, where you're from and all that kind of stuff. So if y'all will, just help us. Oh, God. When Loy called me and everything, I don't even know if she's in here this morning. She said she was a little bit addled. She had not done this before. And we got to talking, and then she said, well, we were talking, and she said, well, what do you want to talk on? I'm going, you know, I don't know. She said, well, how's your spirituality? And I said, well, I'm not drunk today. I figure that's pretty good. You know, and then she said, well, what about the steps? I said, give me the steps. I have experience there. You know, and the steps have absolutely changed my life. I have been sober longer than I drank this year. I quit drinking. I started drinking when I was 13, and I quit when I was 27, you know, so that's pretty neat. My first drink was a Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, and we snuck out at the ball game, you know, we were with a little clan, and I had that beer, and I'm going to tell you what it did for me. It was magic. All my life, I have been tall and skinny. I think I come out 6 foot. They used to tease me on the ball field, why don't you turn sideways and stick your tongue out and look like a zipper? It killed me. I mean, I would go home crying. And, you know, and I come up around a bunch of boys. It seemed like every time I come up with three brothers, we always moved around a whole clan of boys. There wasn't ever any women. Do you know, let me tell you my spiritual experience this morning. I learned how to paint your toenails by crossing your legs and bringing them up to you instead of trying to squat down. I never hung around the girls. That's the truth. I was always around these boys. Now, I know how to shoot a gun. I know you put it in front when you're walking through the woods to catch the spider webs. I can bait a hook. You can't chase me nowhere with a bug or a worm or a lizard. You know, I'm good to go. But painting your toenails and fixing your hair and putting on makeup and what goes with what and how you, all that crap, I learned from y'all here. And I want to thank you for that. But, you know, coming up, I was with these boys, and they were long and tall, and that's all, and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you the magic that happened. When I drank that Pabst Blue Ribbon, whoo, I had. It made me feel like them girls I was going to school with. Look, let me tell you. I mean, I had weight and shape, and, ooh, I was cool and slick, and I didn't stumble over my words, and I knew he thought I was interesting. I just knew it, you know. That's what it did for me. That was the magic that it done for me. My mama raised four of us by herself. I had the older brother that was the man of the house. I had the two little bitty ones that I always took care of, or tried to. And then, well, the smallest one I took care of, the next to the one we always beat up on. He was just an ass. You know, I found out, I was always real jealous of him because mama always compared me to him. Why don't you cook a cake like Al? Why don't you stay inside and make up your bed like Al? Why don't you take care of all your stuff like Al? I said, oh, hell, let's let him do it. I never understood why she wouldn't let me go camping. I never understood why she wouldn't let me, you know, sleep over with them. I mean, I grew up with just boys now. I mean, she was the only woman in my sight other than the boys' mothers, you know. And I'm going to tell you, we learned a lot.
I did.
But that night with that Pabst Blue Ribbon boy, I mean, none of that mattered. None of that mattered. For the first time ever in my life, I felt inside like I thought y'all looked outside. And I'm going to tell you, I pursued that feeling till it damn near killed me. It wasn't long, you know, I'm skipping school and running with the boys because the girls in my class, they don't do that crap, you know. They just don't. So I'm out in the woods with the boys, and we're smoking dope and drinking and just having a good time. I mean, shooting the gun, spitting the back on me, and all that stuff. You know, I'm serious. Well, an occasional grab and feel, you know, but that just goes with it. You know, but that's what I was doing. You know, when I was in the eighth grade, I had spent more time skipping school than I had been in school, so my mama shipped me off to live with an aunt. And that was cool, because she didn't care what I did, you know. We got together and changed my birth certificate so I was a year older than I was so I could get my learner's license. Now, I'm going to tell you, for the longest time, I had two Social Security numbers and all that kind of crap. And when I got sober through the magic of the power of the steps, I had to clean that crap up. And I'm going to tell you, the IRS looks at you funny when you make a phone call. I got two Social Security numbers. Huh? It takes time and a lot of paperwork for all that to go away. But that process that we go through here, it's taken care of. I've got one Social Security number today, but I had to stop and think about how old I am. For that year, you know. I don't intentionally mean to lie to you, but I just have to stop and check it. But anyway, so I got my learner's license, and she was letting me keep her kids, and I could drink and go and do just like I wanted to. Didn't have to go to school if I didn't want to. You know, that was fine. But let me tell you, I felt like she didn't love me because she gave me that ring. See, that's how sick I am. Don't matter what you give me, it ain't what I want. Ever, you know. And so, of course, that didn't last long because I got to drinking and skipping school and, you know, getting drunk with the kids and all this kind of stuff. I remember one day I was in the truck with the youngest baby, and Calvin was about two, and I made a corner, and he went flying out the door. It didn't hurt him. Thank God it didn't hurt him. But, I mean, that's just where I was at. Well, it wasn't long after that little incident I was back home with Mama again. Well, my mother has put up with more crap for me than y'all ever imagined because I just put her through hell. It wasn't long, you know, I would get drunk and just wouldn't come home for weeks in her car. You know, now she's a working woman trying to raise four kids by herself, and I just haul ass in her car. I go to North Carolina, take a sightseeing trip, you know, just take my time, come on back, wreck it a couple of times, and then finally bring it back home. I'm going to tell you, nothing I can ever do here will repay that. You know, I've had my oldest brother come to New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me quit school first. Quit school? Well, I wasn't going anyway, so quitting was just not showing up again. I mean, I never went through the process of stopping doing anything. I just never showed up again. You know what I'm talking about? And there was a lot of people, when I started getting sober, that said, well, where have you been? You know, I just looked around one day, and you just fell off the earth. You know, I didn't tell them bye, nothing. I just left. You know, and that was my pattern until I started getting sober. Mama told me, she said, I done had enough of your crap. You cannot do that here. You're going to kill yourself, but you're not going to do it under my roof. And she kicked me out. Now I'm 15. So I go and do the only thing I know how to do, and that's start waiting tables, you know, in this little restaurant in Manchester. And that's what I started doing. Well, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't working there very long, but he come in the door. And I knew that was my answer. I knew it because he had a big old wad of money in his pocket, and I just knew if I had enough money, I would be all right. That would fix the whole thing. You know, I knew that. And so he come in the door, and I made him my business, and it wasn't long I was his business. I mean, we were living together. Now, that's back before all this stuff is fashionable, and I'm in a little old bitty town, and I am just a total embarrassment to my mother and my brothers. I mean, because I'm hanging out in the honky-tonks and getting drunk and just showing my butt big time. You know, this guy, he built a bar, you know, so I'd have a place to work, and that's not really how it went. Wait, that's not right. I mean, he built a bar, and I went to work there, you know. You know, and for the longest time, this man, I just thought he was my everything, but let me tell you what happened in that relationship, because I am so sick and I am so needy at this particular time in my life. I looked for him for my everything, and there was just that sick dependency. You know, I was fixing to say he controlled me a lot of ways, but he never did anything that I did not allow. I know that today. But I'm young and real impressive, and he was impressive. I'm going to tell you. And we had a hell of a time. He didn't care how much liquor I drank, but he didn't want me doing no dope, and we had some times with that. He'd go out of town, and I'd just go across the street because my best friend lived across the street, and I just had to stay over there because I'd get so screwed up I couldn't get back across the street. So I'd just stay over there. You know, she'd have that script and them bands every month, and man, whew, it was hell. But he would, you know, every once in a while he would come home and find me over there, and he'd be pissed, and he'd just beat me all the way across the street. You know, and I used to think, oh, he was so mean to me. You know, and we'd get drunk, and, you know, he'd tell me, you shut up, or just shut up, you know. Not me. Mm-mm-mm. I'm like a little chihuahua dog. We'll not shut up for nothing. So I know today, through inventory and the process of the steps, that had I shut up when that man told me to shut up, he probably wouldn't have hit me near so much. But once you hit me, oh, you son of a bitch, blah, 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 you know, then I'm really big and bad, you know, and it just gets worse after that. You know, but I used to have a lot of fear. I know what the fear is in a relationship like that, an abusive relationship. I know what it's like to be scared to leave. I know what it's like to be scared to stay. I know what it's like to lay in a ditch all night hoping he don't find you in it wintertime. I know all of that. I don't ever want to go back to that crap again. Because I tell you, through the magic and the power of these steps, any son of a bitch hits me, gonna be shot. That is because y'all have taught me that there's nothing here that I do that deserves that. That's what y'all have taught me here. I didn't come here with that. Y'all gave me that. The magic of these steps gave me that, you know. It's not that I'm big and you know, bad-mouthing men or none of that kind of stuff. I'm married to a kind, loving husband. But I will not tolerate unacceptable behavior today. And I know what some of that is for me, thank God. This man would beat me and I'd run off somewhere and he'd beat me on the way home. You know, that kind of stuff. It just got real sick. And I didn't know how long I'd stay there. I asked my mama one time, you know, how long was I in that relationship? She said, Fanny, you were there about 5 years. You know, one time I run away to New Orleans and he didn't come get me. Now, I'm telling you, I'm from a town about the size of this compound we're at, you know. Now, you take that and go to New Orleans, Louisiana, where you can buy liquor in the quickie stores. I was impressed. We had to buy, where I come from, if you knew the bootlegger, you could get the liquor because it was a dry county, and hell, I'm so young, I don't have real driver's license, you know. And I mean, but you know, you didn't have to go through all that in New Orleans, just go buy it, you know. I loved it. Well, and I don't know how to do anything, so I'm waiting tables, and you join, of course. And I like it. I mean, I'm having a good time drinking. I mean, those bars don't close. I mean, they just go on and on. I mean, you can go a whole week and never go home. I was amazed. But, you know, and I did that. And it wasn't long I was doing those kind of things, and it wasn't long. You know, I wind up back. Nobody wants anything to do with me. I'm down on Lake Pontchartrain in my car. I don't have any money. I don't have nothing. I'm hungover, sick, you know, all my stuff in both my sacks in the back seat, you know, and I don't know how I left there. I tell you what I do know about me at that particular time. There was a man involved because that was my mode of operation. You might not know he was there, but he's always back there with the money, for the most part with the money. You know, I never thought I was capable of earning a living of my own. I was always dependent. You know, I used to say, well, I hold a job. I'm independent. That's bullshit. You know, if he woke up pissed off, I was pissed off. If he woke up happy, I was happy. If he woke up sad, I was sad. That is not dependent. Independent. That's totally sick, and that's where I was. I don't know how I got off Lake Pontchartrain that day. I really don't. But I tell you what, it wasn't long I was calling Mama. While I was in New Orleans, Louisiana, my oldest brother, Mama didn't know where I was. I just hauled ass one more time, you know. I don't know how long I was down there. So, for me, the alcoholic I am, so much happens in such a short period of time, it seems like years. There's a girl that I sponsor. We get so tickled with that, you know, because we have done so much in 2 days. Shit, 2 years has done gone by, you know. I have no idea how long I was there, but I was there long enough to use up everybody and come crying to Mama. But before that phone call, Mama didn't know where I was, and she sent my oldest brother down there to find me. He found me. He found me on the streets of New Orleans, Louisiana, walking, you know, when I was selling myself. He grabbed me by my shirt collar, and he disowned me right there. He just picked me up and just dropped me, just like I was a sack of trash. That's what I felt like inside, you know, because I knew my actions were. That's just where I was at that day. You know, that's just where I was. That's where my drinking and my drug use and my using and abusing people took me that day. And he found me on that day. Now, my oldest brother has got those eyes that when he looks at you, he never sees you. And when he disowned me that day, he disowned me that day. I have been in the house with my mother and my other brothers and the family, and he never acknowledged my presence. He would look straight through me and not ever see me. And I'm going to tell you, that was the worst feeling I've ever had in my life. For my family, any of my family members, for me to do that to them by my actions, that hurt. But one more time, I'm down there on that lake, and I don't know how I'm getting home, and my brother, he done went home and told everybody where he found me and what I was doing, and Mama told me this. She was at my house just a couple of weeks ago. I mean, a couple of months ago, and me and a girl I was sponsored was talking, you know, we were talking there, and my mama don't talk a lot about the past. And these babies that you sponsor, boy, they bring all this shit up. Well, she was talking to my mama, and it come up on how Ed found me, and that's my oldest brother, and Mama asked him, well, Ed, how'd you find her? He said, I went to the sleaziest, low rent, just the worst place, the worst bar in New Orleans, Louisiana, and that's where I found her. It hit me right here, and it just churned, you know, because that's where my thinking, that's where my magic gets me, in the sleaziest place around. You know, this is paid, right? Okay, never mind. You know, doing the stuff that we do to survive what we got to do that day, and y'all know where that carries us, the women alcoholics in this room. I don't have to get grody on the thing. I called my mom and asked her, could I come home? I'm broke and ain't got no money, done used everybody up. And she said, yeah, but there's going to be some conditions. I said, oh, God, what are they? She said, number one, you're not going to drink in my house. And number two, you're going to get your GED. I didn't sweat the GED, but I knew there was no way I could go without drinking in her house. Now, I'm only 19, 20. I'm not very old. So I go home and I do the controlled drinking. I know about controlled drinking because that's what I had to do to maintain at that particular time. It wasn't long that I found a man who knew a man who knew a man, and I got a job working on the railroad. I got my GED and done all that stuff, and this guy helped me get on with the railroad because the railroad was behind the government to hire more women, that equal rights thing and all that kind of stuff. So I was one of the first seven women that hired out from Manchester with the railroad. I'm going to tell you, when the book talks about, in Bill's story, when he talks about I have arrived, that's what I felt when I got that job. Now I got my own damn money, you know? Now I'll show them. Now I'll prove to the world that I am important. I can identify so clearly with that because I remember those feelings. Well, I started working with all these guys, and once again, you know, my job's who I am. I had to prove to these people that I could drink like they drink, work like they work, and do what they're doing. You know, I mean, that's how I am. I got to get in there with you and prove I can be like you. You know, and that's what I did. And today I've got men that work on the railroad that will not sit down and drink with me. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just it tells me when I think that I'm not an alcoholic or when I think I'm not quite that bad, I remember some of this. And it just, all that goes right on out the window then. Well, it wasn't long that I'm making all this big money and I'm starting hanging out with a little different crowd of people and we started doing some cocaine. Now, I am an alcoholic, but cocaine is part of my story. And I sold everything I had shooting cocaine. People talk about crack and it being bad, and I got sober before crack, but I tell you what, I know where cocaine took me. It took me to the back room of my mama's house, hiding, peeping out of the damn windows, and then hauled everything I could beg, borrow, and steal to the dope dealers. I'm walking down the road, and I got a damn washing machine on a set of dollies, going to the dope dealer. I went to that dope dealer. It was about a $10 shot, and it took every ounce of everything I had in me that day. I laid down for that man, and I got my shot, and I walked out of there, and there was nothing there. That was the last ounce of anything that I had was gone that day. I don't ever want to forget. That's how I felt that day. I felt like I was a worm. I felt so bad that day. That's where my thinking gets me. When I say I got a good idea, y'all better watch out. Oh, man. wasn't long, you know, I'm doing all this dope and drinking and just going crazy and everything, and I got arrested. I got arrested, and they searched my house just like they do on TV, and I thought it was all an act, and it's not. They come through your house, and they tear shit up. I need to apologize now for my language, but sometimes I just ain't got time to filter it all. It just up and out, okay? Well, I'm sitting there and everything, and I'm, you know, I done come to, and I'm in shorts or whatever I slept in and everything, and my jeans are on the line. I know I'm fixing to go to jail, so I just ease out the back door. You do not ease out the back door when they're in the process of raiding your house. They come around the corners with them damn guns cocked. You know, they thought I was trying to run. I'm just getting my pants off the line. You know, I ease back in. And they took me to jail. And I stayed, and I stayed, and I stayed, and I stayed. You know, and I can't call him because she's home, you know, to come get me out. And I ain't got no money, you know. Finally, a deputy sheriff called him because she was still home, and he come got me. I didn't go take her home, take a shower. I didn't go. I went to the bar to see if I was missed. Is that sick? That is sick. I mean, that's the first place I went after I got out of jail. Well, after I got out of jail, this guy come by the house, and he was talking Greek, and he had been somewhere. We wasn't sure where. We thought it was a nut ward, but he come talking about God and higher power and living, you know, just a bunch of crap I didn't understand. He wouldn't drink a beer with me, and he wouldn't smoke a joint, and I didn't understand it. You know, he said, Sandy, he said, if you go down here, you can get your job back. That's all I heard of that conversation that day. That was my 12-step. He 12-stepped me that day. I heard that because I knew I was in a corner, and I knew I didn't know how to get out. I didn't know then, but I know today that when I was in jail about that fourth day, and they're still bringing those trays around, and I'm not getting out, and I still ain't called him because she's home, you know, I asked God to help me. And I wasn't bargaining with God that day. I said, God, just help me. I just can't go on like this. Because I'm going to tell you, I've been feeling bad inside a long, long time. I've always felt less than, not good enough, you know, not enough, whatever. You know, and that feeling of the day I walked out of that dope dealer's house is still right there. You know, I can't look at myself in the mirror. I just can't. Because I hate me. I hate what I've become. I didn't start out like that. That wasn't what it was supposed to be about, you know. So when he told me that I'd get my job back, and that's the only thing that I'm holding on to is this job, I'd say, sign me up, you know, and he did. So I went to treatment. While I was in treatment, I heard a lady say, now, you know, the only thing I remember about my first 30 days is this lady said, and I don't know who it was, and it don't matter. She said, Sandy, you don't ever have to feel the way you're feeling inside, ever again. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I know what it did for me. I've been feeling bad a long time. And y'all told me I didn't have to feel like that if I didn't want to. It was my choice. I didn't believe you. I didn't believe it. But hell, I didn't have nothing to lose. I was at that point. I said, okay. So I started doing what y'all said do. If whatever it was, I didn't care. It didn't matter. I started doing it. I started getting some results. I'm in treatment 30 days, 45 days, ever how long. And they say, okay, you're ready to go home, but you're not going home. I said, what the hell are you talking about? I'm ready to go home, ain't going home. Well, you're going to the halfway house because you're just that sick. I'm going, oh, shit. But I got to do what I got to do to keep this job, right? And I done started getting a little taste. I done an inventory, and I know that it wasn't the reason I'm the way I am had nothing to do with my dad not being in my family. It had absolutely nothing to do with that. I found out that through my inventory that I was jealous of that brother that I talked to y'all about. I found out through my inventory that my oldest brother, what an embarrassment I was, and how he probably wanted the best for me because he did love me. And he saw me carry myself through a lot of changes, and he just couldn't handle that. That's what I found out there. So now they're going to ship me off to live with a bunch of women. Now I'm going to tell you, when you go to that halfway house, you got to travel in groups. They won't let you ride, don't know where by yourself, and you got to wear all your clothes. All of them. Now, it's been a long time since I wore all my clothes. You know, it takes too much time in and out, you know what I mean? So, y'all started teaching me about us, how we're scared. I figured that the women I knew was doing what I was doing, so they were not to be trusted. That's what I found out there. That's the reason I didn't trust women, because I figured they were doing what I was doing. You know, I did not know that. I found that out there. I found out a lot of things. I found out that, you know, we're all pretty neat, and we got our own insecurities, and
The fact that I was just around a bunch of women in a wad, I was impressed. I'd never been there before. So I stayed at the halfway house during the time that they told me to stay there. And then they said, you can go home. Now I'm scared to death. I don't want to go home, you know, because I know that he's going to be there. I done wrote him a letter and told him, you know, hey, I'm trying to do the right thing. Don't call me. Don't come by. Don't send no more money. And I'm going to tell you, for somebody that ain't got no job, telling a man no more money is tough. But y'all had already told me that I got to start depending on God, not a man. And see, in the little bit that I've been able to pray, I was getting some good results. I tell you what, a $100 bill had never made me feel inside like I was feeling down there doing that little bit of stuff I'd done. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. Well, anyway, they let me come home, and I'm scared to death. I'm just terrified. So, what do? You go to meetings. So I started going to meetings and going to meetings and going to meetings. Well, I'm in this little bitty group in a little bitty town, and there's not any long-term sober women there. So my first sponsor was Al-Anon, because she was the wife of the guy that started the group. So, I mean, they just took me in. And that lady and that man taught me what you do in the daytime. I can tell them what's been there. I mean, we'd get down in the garden and she showed me how to cook and how to, you know, do the garden thing. And, you know, we talked about all that stuff in the garden. You know, she was telling me about that woman's stuff, about a conversation I never had with my mother because I never asked. You know, about those things, the do's and the don'ts, and yeah, how you feel, and they really cared. I was impressed. But let me tell you, there was this old gray-headed fart that come to our meetings. I've grown spiritually. He used to be an SOB. He would sit way back in the back of the room, and I'd get up and I'd say, my name's Sandy, and I'm an alcoholic and an addict. Yeah, and I got hemorrhoids, too. And he'd just scream it across the room. God. They say that senile stuff hits, and I reckon it happened to him. But, I mean, he would just scream it across. You know, and every time I talk about my feelings, oh, my God, he would just, I mean, he would scream across the room, you know. I just knew he was going to have a heart attack. This man was something else. You know, when I'd get mad at that son of a bitch, and I'd pray for him all the way home. You know, that's what y'all told me to do. That's the first time I've ever experienced principles before personalities. That old fart wasn't keeping me out of my meeting. And y'all told me if I prayed for him, I'd start feeling different about him, so I'd pray for him coming and cut him going. But I mean, every time I'd get up and share with that Anna stuff, he'd scream across the room, I got hemorrhoids too. I'd, son of a bitch, what's wrong with him, you know? Finally, I asked somebody why he does that. You know, I'm slow. I mean, it took a month, 2 months. I don't know how long it took. You know, why does he do that to me? Come here, Sandy. Let me talk to you. And God put his arm around me, and he said, this is Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're into anything else here, it's that you're telling us that you're different. And as long as you're different, you don't have to do what we have to do. And this is the only thing that's worked for alcoholics for thousands of years for recovery. And that's when you become like us, and feel like you got to do like we do, that you get better. I went into the next meeting. I said, my name's Sandy and I'm an alcoholic. I didn't hear nothing. I have the power to cure hemorrhoids. I really don't. But I didn't hear that anymore from him. Now, I got involved in a group, and there were some guys that just got a hold of some Joe and Charlie Big Book tapes, and I'm going to tell you, they were on fire. This little group hadn't seen a big book. This little group, you come to meetings, don't drink, and just hang on and sweat it every day. And don't drink. I'm white-knuckling it every day. You know, I want to drink every day. Well, these two boys got a hold of these tapes, and I'm telling you, they were on fire. Because, I mean, we're talking about steps, and we're talking about inventory, and we're talking grief that these people ain't never heard before. And there was some shit going on in that meeting. Well, I got in with them. Now, I'm going to tell you, we would go back and forth to meetings. There was not a meeting in our area every night of the week. We had to drive like 30 miles to and 30 miles back. You know, but we had a meeting every night of the week. And we'd all load up and we'd go. And we'd have the meeting, go into the meeting. We'd have the meeting, and then we'd have the meeting coming back. You know? So, I mean, I was every night. But these guys got a hold of these tapes, and I started listening to them. And that's where I found out how you do an inventory. That's where I found out how you do step three and where and when you do your four step and all that kind of stuff. Well, I started working on my four step to impress this guy because I'm starting to like this guy that I'm going to the meetings with. But let me tell you, now this guy was not about getting in my pants. Now, I didn't understand that. I mean, that's some of the stuff we talked about in the garden, you know. Well, does he not find me desirable? What the hell's wrong with him, you know? I did not understand respect. I didn't have a clue. I had absolutely no idea what was going on. I'm telling you, I come here real sick. When I first come in to that particular group, the Al-Anon lady would go to meetings with a couple of guys, and I could not picture that without sex involved. Me and a guy together, that was sex involved. I'm sorry, you know. But, you know, and that's changed. Thank God that has changed. But see, y'all walk me through that. Y'all walk me through that and just let me have all this crazy thinking and all that kind of stuff and share it with them. We started going to meetings, and I'm doing an inventory, like the big book says. That's where I found out that I was jealous of my brother. That's the reason I hated him so bad. I had to forgive my mom because I remember times when I would come home, I would have money in my pocket, you know, $100 bills and stuff. She knew. I didn't have no money when I left the house, and I'd come back after this gentleman and I had a ride, you know, with a lot of money in my pocket, you know, and I mean, this put a heater in her house. This put some things in her house, and I used to hate her for allowing that to go on, you know. But I realized during this inventory that she had absolutely nothing to do with it. If she'd have told me I couldn't have gone, I'd have busted the door down going. But I didn't know that. I always blamed her for it. I blamed everybody for everything that ever happened to me. That is the magic of the steps. It helps me see me and my attitudes different. And I'm going to tell you, if I see me different and my attitudes are different, y'all going to look a whole lot better. I do that inventory and I get to looking and then I do a fifth step. Now I do a fifth step with a little lady, one of them Southern Belles. Now, I'm straight off the streets myself, but I mean, this is 80. You know, I know I'm going to throw her in the floor. You know, I'm just waiting. This is going to do it, you know. And she never did fall out of that chair. She shared some stuff with me and made me fall out of my chair. I couldn't believe that woman done some of them things, and I'm going to tell you, because she didn't look like she did, you know. She didn't look that part. But let me tell you a spiritual experience for me. After I'd done that inventory with her, she left me in the room by myself with her husband and her purse open with her where I could see her wallet. Now, I don't think that was a deliberate act. I think that was just me being aware. I didn't steal anything out of her purse, and I didn't grab her old man. Spiritual growth there, let me tell you. Y'all give me that. Y'all give me that. 6 and 7, it was prayer. You know, it was just prayer because I didn't know. I was a bunch of character. I was just walking character defect, you know, period, you know. God, you just figure it out and just leave me what's left and tell me what to do with it, you know. That was all. Well, this step three, I got to go back because I forgot to tell you. When I got to step three, I was, now how do I turn my wheel over to God and take it back and go to India with the tambourines? I don't want to do all that, you know. And it was explained to me. It was explained to me that step three is just saying you're going to go on and do the rest of the steps. That's all. You're just making a decision to go on. That's all. It ain't nothing about giving nobody nothing and taking it back or nothing. You know, and I had it all screwed up. But anyway, I did that, and I'm rocking on. So I'm on these amends. I don't know how long I'm supposed to pause. I should have looked at the watch. My inventory, I found out that my oldest brother, now we had done some stuff that I carried a lot of guilt about. Some of y'all know what that stuff is, some of you don't. If you've done it, you know it, and if you ain't, I ain't going to explain it to you. But all my life, I've wanted him to love me, all my life, and I'd done everything he ever asked me. In my inventory, I found out that's what I was doing, and that's the reason why. When I went and made my amends, I told him that I was unwilling to do those things anymore. That I loved him. God, I loved him. But I really didn't care whether he ever spoke to me again. And I walked away from there free of him. I walked away there free of that day in New Orleans, Louisiana. I walked away over there free from all that crap that I'd done in my past that I was carrying so much shame and guilt about. That is the magic and the power of these steps. That's it. I walked away free. Wasn't nothing else hanging over my head that day. This guy that was so mean to me and we used to fight all the time, I knew the last time he saw me, he said, "You bitch, I'm going to kill you if I ever lay eyes on you again." And I knew in my heart that he meant it. But see, I got to make these amends. Well, my sponsor told me to make a list. Because I could make the amends because Jim was right there. That was the one that was going to kill me. Well, hell, I'm not going to be allowed to do the rest of them anyway. You know? I weaseled right out of that one. Loving hand of a sponsor took me to the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. He talks about the ones that we can do now, the ones we might do, and the ones that we'll never do. Put him over there on the never list. I did that. And that's how I started making my amends. I separated them, the ones I can do now, the ones I'll do, and the one I'll never do that. You know, and as I got in the process of making those amends, everything started moving over. About this time, court thing come up about me getting busted. Well, I'm scared to death. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to do prison time. But y'all have taught me here in these rooms that I have to be responsible for my actions, period. And I was willing to do that. So I'm standing before the judge just shaking like a leaf, and he gave me probation. Never had an investigation. I mean, and today, a couple of railroad men are absolutely amazed by that. You know, that's God. That's God. That's the magic through these steps. You know, the railroad offered a payoff. I took it, and I went to school to learn how to do something legal. I got an office job. I went in there. I go to school, do that deal. I show up early, stay late. I do the commitment. I'm pissed off, can't do it. I keep going because y'all have taught me to keep showing up. Don't care what your head tells you, keep showing up. So I keep showing up for the school, and I graduate. Now I know how to do something legal. Now I'm going to tell you, I have been in the position where I had to get past them ladies in the front office to get to him where I could calm my way into a job. Y'all know what I'm talking about. She's sitting there all prime and proper, got them fingernails painted, and she won't let you pass, and I hated her. I'm the lady behind the glass today. I let everybody through. My job, we kind of fill in. If we hear the bell, you know, we go up there and see who's in front. If they want an application, they want to talk to the boss, hell yeah, there he is right there. Go get him. But let me tell you, I took a little accounting course. And I'm 1 month coming off probation. 1 month. 1 month off probation, nothing's on my record. Nobody will never know I've been busted. Nobody will never know that crap. And I go for this job interview. And on that application, what's that question? Have you ever been busted? And I'm on the lie like hell. You know, oh no, I'm a month coming off now. 1 month. If they check me and I lied, I'm through. But if they check me, I'm through anyway because they ain't going to hire me. So I go to my sponsor, what the hell do I do with this? Well, Sandy, are you going to do it your way or are you going to let God do it? What are you talking about? Tell the truth and let them decide. I went in there. I hate that. I went in, closed the door, and I said, I need to talk to you about something. And I put it all out on the table. And I said, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And I kissed that job goodbye. You know, I just did. This is a good job. You know, this is better than anything I could ever, for me, you know, from where I was sitting at that point. And, you know, and hell, they had called my house before I even got home and told me to come back up there and go to work. The magic and the power of these steps, honesty. Be honest and let God do it. I got to quit controlling everything in my life because I'm screwing it up left and right. Well, me and this guy that we're riding the meetings with and everything, we got married. Sure did. Well, hang on. We're married. Let me tell you what the neat thing about that, well, there's a lot of stuff neat, but after my men, to my oldest brother. I was free. When I got married, we were talking. I don't know what happened, but we were talking and everything, and he walked me down the aisle and gave me away at that wedding. Magic and the power of these steps. Me and that guy, we started growing, the guy I married started going in different directions. I mean, I got in here and got enthused and wanted to go to conferences and all that kind of stuff, and he wanted to be home and be spiritual. You know, okay, but don't bitch at me for going, you know. And we just got like that. We were Mr. and Ms. AA couple. We would, yeah, at home, and we'd walk in hand, all smiles. That's sick. That is real sick, but that's what happened to me. Well, it wasn't long. We just went our different ways, and we got a divorce. Now, we're in a little bitty town, and it was bad. It was bad. Everybody took sides, and there was just a lot of shit, you know. And I had a hard time. Now, I'm 5 years sober when this thing happens, and I'm absolutely nuts. Drinking is not an option for me, but eating a gun damn sure is. And I'm crazy. So I went to that old fart that screamed at me across the room, and I asked him to help me. Because I didn't know what else to do. There wasn't any long-time sober women in my group. So I had to lean on the old-time men. And his head wasn't in my pants, and his hands wasn't either. His head was wanting me to get better and get sober, and I am forever grateful for that. And he walked me through that. He got me involved. He got me looking at me. I had to look at the part I had to play in that relationship and how I was acting like a screaming, kicking two-year-old. You cannot be married in a relationship screaming, kicking two-year-old, pouting when it don't go your way. That's what I was doing. Well, I got over that deal, and I spotted him with two kids. Now, I don't have any kids, so I know kids are going to make me better. So I go after him with these kids. We were married. I got to share this with you. This is so touching to me. Those kids had a lot of people give them money and shoo them. You know, here, take $10, go away. Here, take $5, go away. They had never had anybody play in the mud, play in the rain, build a homemade pizza. I spent that time with those two kids. I'm not patting my own self on the back, but I thought that was my duty at that time, to be there for them and raise them the best way I can, and that's what I did. About 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting at the office, I get a phone call. I don't even recognize the voice. Hey, Sandy, how you doing? I'm okay, how you doing? I'm all right. You don't know who this is, do you? I said, no. He said, it's Travis. Now, Travis is one of the little boy. He said, I'm graduating. I said, you are. I mean, you know, I'm just so impressed. Why the other family? They can give me one of them tickets. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I sat in that chair and I cried. That is the magic and the power of these steps. When I was married to his dad, he didn't badmouth his mom in my presence. I would not tolerate that. Y'all have taught me that. You don't make you look better by putting other people down. Those kids were so scared to love their mother and call her name because they always got hell for it, you know? That shit stopped. Those kids' mother today calls and checks on me. How are you doing, Sandy? That is y'all. That is the power of this program, Alcoholics Anonymous, when we do the right thing and don't put other people down trying to make us look better. That woman went through a hard time, and I'm telling you, I've been there, so I have no right to judge her. If I'd have had kids, hell, who knows where they would be, you know? But I helped raise those two kids, and that's all I know about kids. But I'm going to tell you, those two people are a delight in my life. I had this old lady, she's sober forever. She didn't go to meetings, you know, she got sick and everything. Sandy, quit trying to tell them what to do. I said, what the hell are you talking about? I'm a parent, like, image, you know? I'm supposed to tell them what to do. She says, why don't you try to learn from them? I said, what? Let them teach you. I started with that attitude, and our relationship changed. I'm not kidding you. That, and I, you know, it's just listening to the women in these rooms tell me what to do and taking those suggestions has given me everything that I have today. I tell you, when I hear people say AA's getting in the way of my work, I start running away from them. Because of AA, hell, I can work, you know? Me and that guy with the kids, we got divorced, and I've got this old fart in the back of the room, you know, telling me, you know, you keep doing the same thing, you keep fishing in the same pond, you're going to keep catching the same kind of fish. Y'all quicker than I am, because I didn't know what in the hell he was talking about. I
ain't never been fishing. I mean, not since I've been sober. I didn't have a clue. Met this guy, and we started talking and stuff like that. And I'm not even divorced for a husband with the kids, and I meet this other guy, and I'm going, oh, shit. You know, and I'm wanting to be different. I'm wanting to do different, and I don't know how. I know that there's time for me to have a woman sponsor, and I hadn't got a clue that I'd call Jacksonville, the women down there. Will you sponsor me long distance? Nope. There's ladies 20 and 25 years sober in our area within an hour's drive, and they don't sponsor people. I don't know how do they do that. But I tell you what, I'm crazy. Now, that old fart's telling me I can't see him. Well, he's not telling me that. He says, if I keep doing the same things over, I'm going to keep doing what I've always, always got. And I don't want that this time. So I tell this guy we've been seeing each other about a month, and I really like him. He's not the one I would pick out. He's healthy. He don't need a damn thing I got. And he don't want, I would not have picked him out. You know? He's got his shit together. I always look for the ones I can fix. He told me not long after that, when we were dating and everything, he said, say, ain't nothing on me broke. I heard that. And I don't, I'm confused and I'm torn and I'm praying every night. And I said, look, Wendell, you got to give me some time. I can't go through this again. I got to get okay with me. And I shoved him away. And I prayed every day, God, show me what to do because I don't know what to do here. I'm not talking to this old man. I'm praying to God to bring a woman to my life because I need the guidance of the women, the sober women in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't know which way to turn. Everybody I'm talking to is turning me down. And I'm nuts. I'm crazy. So I got a tape in the mail. Now, through the divorces and everything, I didn't have money to buy that. My subscription ran out a long time ago, but I got this tape in the mail. I heard this lady say, her first and last name from the podium, thank God. I heard her say that there was a time when she was in AA and she knew that she had to either get in or get out, and I knew I was at that point. And I went through the changes of getting a phone number, calling the people and getting that phone number. And I called her and I asked her if she would sponsor me long distance, and she said she would. Now, I'm in Georgia. She's in California, for God's sakes. There's some conditions of her sponsorship. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Wear a dress behind the podium. Yes, ma'am. But, Debbie, this is a women's retreat, and they say casual dress. She said, your respect for AA don't go casual. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I got on my dress. I'm still willing. We set up a time every week, which is convenient for her and for me, and she is more busy in AA than I am. And I'm going to tell you, you can look at my calendar, just zoom, 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 ask these girls, they can tell you. God, she's done that for me, I'm not bitching. When she started sponsoring me, I was going to one meeting a week, whether I needed it or not, and that was all. One of the hardest things I had to do since Debbie has been sponsoring me is walk back in the rooms of these groups that I throwed my nose up because they wasn't doing right, and have to attend those meetings. Because my requirement for meetings was 3 a week, whether I needed it or not. At least 3. 4 is okay, too, if you want to go to more. So I had to go back and ask these people to help me. And that's one of the hardest walks I've made. I understand. No, I don't. I think I understand when people go back and relapse and then come back, how hard it is, because that's how hard that walk was for me. I woke up one morning and I knew that I knew. I knew that Wendell was the one for me, and I didn't give a shit who liked it or who approved of it or nothing. I knew. Because I was trying to do some things different. I was taking a different direction, and I was trying to become different, and whatever Debbie told me to do was fine by me. Debbie sponsored me a year and a half over the phone before she ever laid eyes on me personally. We never met. I sent her pictures. She sent me pictures. Now, I'm going to tell you, when that first meeting took place, it was like the damn queen was coming. I clean the house, top to bottom. I'm in the closet, arranging stuff in the closet. My husband taps me on the shoulder. He said, I don't think she's going to be looking there. Debbie is such a graceful lady. She is so pretty and so involved and so positive and so tolerant and so loving. And I am just right the opposite. I'm clumsy and, I'm like a bull in a china shop. She has softened me up. Because of her sponsorship and the example that she sets for me, as a woman, a sober woman, she walks through situations with dignity and grace. She has taught me how to do that. And because of that, I have the opportunity to sponsor people. Now, I'm telling you, I've tried to work with a lot of people during this other time, but, you know, by God, you do it this way. Yeah. And that's not attractive. Today, you do it this way. AA has given me life. AA has given me relationships with a husband. I mean, I'm an adult in that relationship, I act like I am, even though I don't think it, you know. Debbie always tells me, act as if you're an adult, Sandy. Okay. So tell me what to do now. You know, but our commitment to that long-distance relationship is something. And I don't know how long that's going to last. You know, I'm not looking to change it because it has done so much for me. It has given me an opportunity to sponsor some women. I got the best bunch of girls you'll ever meet anywhere. I have walked with these women through some hell of a times. I have watched them grow and do this deal when they didn't want to and cuss me because I give them that direction with the tone. And they hated me for it. But if they have come through that, you know, and we're a lot closer because of that, you know. And I've seen them sponsor people, you know. Hell, I'm a granny. I got grandbabies in this program. That is so cool. That is because of the women that I found here. That is because of the power of the steps. I don't talk a lot about God because I don't know a lot about God. I just know that if I let God work through y'all and take your direction that I hear and go to my meetings and get my messages, you know, I'm okay. My husband has been laid off several different times during... I'm going to hurry up and hush. But I got to share one thing with you. The kind of support I have. I have sponsored people and they have to kick and scream to get out of the house and fight husbands and you know, all that kind of stuff. My husband was laid off and I told him that I wanted to go to California because my sponsor has a baby get-together once a year. I wanted to go to that. Okay? Now, I've been sticking nickels and dimes back all year long saving up for this trip. Now, he's laid off, and, I mean, we're squeaking by. We're getting by, but we're squeaking, you know? And he got his unemployment check, and he paid his bills, and he had, like, about $10 left. And he brought me $5 of that 10 for my California trip. That is the kind of support that I have at home. You know, that is what y'all have given me here, because I'm telling you, I would not have picked him. I would not have. I appreciate y'all letting me come here. I appreciate y'all letting me share and talk, you know, just tolerating me crying. I'm a wuss, and that's okay today. I would like to close with a passage out of the big book, if that's okay. If I can see. I love this, and it sums it up for me. AA is not a plan for recovery that can be finished and done with. It is a way of life, and the challenge contained in its principles is great enough to keep any human being striving as long as he lives, or she. We do not, cannot outgrow this plan. As arrested alcoholics, we must have a program for living that allows for limitless expansion. Keeping one foot in front of the other is essential for maintaining our arrestment. Others may idle in retrogressive groove without so much danger, but retrogression for us spells death. However, it isn't as rough as it sounds, and we do become grateful for the necessity that makes us toe the line. That's our life. We find that we are more than compensated for consistent effort by the countless dividends we receive. Thank you so much. Thank you.